Hi, this is Pastor Greg. I want to thank you for tuning in to Chosen Generation Radio. When God called me to start this program 8 years ago, He led me to address three main topics while discussing current events through a biblical lens. I knew this was not supposed to be a preaching program, as there are a number of those on the radio. My calling was to address the LGBTQ agenda, Islam, and secular humanism. Just some non-controversial stuff. Secular humanism, which simply stated says man is the center and human reason has all the answers, and to leave God out of it. This indoctrination is really at the core of the shift in understanding America's founding, Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence. By removing God and biblical values, it's easy to see how gender dysphoria, unnatural sexual desires, and embracing a confused 7th century belief that rejects life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, namely Islam, a militant, geopolitical, totalitarian, and brutal regime, has taken root. I believe God has chosen this generation to ignite the passion to advance the radical message of the gospel and to once again establish America as the salt and light through which the message is advanced. Each segment applies that principle, no matter the topic. But how do we become this secular, democratic, non-theistic, top-down country run by a combination of demagoguery and elitism? I would suggest we examine our history. At America's founding, we had been oppressed by a tyrant king, claimed he actually spoke for God, and claimed a divine right monarchy. In order to set people free from these kind of despot leaders, one must reconnect the people with the one who grants all freedom. And so, preachers in the mid-1700s challenged the Christians in America to decide whom they should serve. Who was their king? Was it a man on a throne across the sea? Or was it the King of Kings, Jesus Christ? You cannot serve two masters. As the founders fermented in this, they began to see the need to create a new kind of country, a nation that valued life and recognized God as the author, who had been set free to liberty in Christ and to pursue abundant life. No, these weren't pieces on a board passed to one and not to another, as John Locke suggested, but rather they were a very part of who being American was, a concept only understood through biblical glasses as a blood-bought son of God and heir to the promise. So why are Christians so docile? You see, we live in a world filled with sin that has taken a stand to call God the enemy. We are children of God, heirs to the promise, yet we stand idly by as our brothers and sisters are slaughtered and our children's innocence is destroyed. Where's the anger and the rage at such atrocities? Jesus said it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones. Jesus warned them not to cause harm or offense to the little ones, to the least of these. It would be better than a millstone were cast around his neck and he be drowned in the sea. That's not docile in the face of offense being done to children. This is Jesus speaking, the one that they say only speaks soft, lovely words. Or what about these verses? If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Wow. To the leaders of the church, he says, you are sons of the devil. You are deaf and unable to hear or understand the words of God because you do not know him. Yet day after day, Christians sit back silently while little boys are chemically castrated, while children's minds are violated in a comprehensive sex education curriculum, while they are taught that America equals Christianity equals all white people are bad and they should be ashamed. Let's be clear. If you believe in the truth of the Bible, then you believe that all are sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. That God in his grace and mercy, while we were his enemies doing all forms of vile behavior, sent his son, his only begotten son, to die for our sins, to lay down his perfect and sinless life as a human being, having set aside his divine nature to become a man so he could take our place and overcome sin and death on the cross. Jesus the Christ shed his blood, died on the cross, rose the third day, set free the captives, presented himself to the disciples and to several thousand, and then ascended to heaven, at which point the Holy Spirit descended from heaven to lead us into all truth. Ultimately, then, we understand that sin is the issue and the nature of man. The key then is a confession of faith in God through Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness of sin. I believe that we have been called, and it is the purpose of Chosen Generation Radio to raise up a generation to take back this nation, to reestablish a constitutional republic with Jesus Christ at its core, providing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all Americans, and once again advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I do hope that you regularly will keep it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, I have to tell you, we just had as a guest on our program a gentleman named Robert Silk, and he is a part of the Jewish National Fund, and his father, Harry Silk, that name was kept as a top secret name for many, many years, because he was responsible for the assistance in raising $500,000, the equivalent of about $10 million, to purchase the ships and outfit the ships that carried the Jewish people back to their homeland, and also was involved in assisting in the purchasing of that land that became Israel. And there is a reservoir over there called the Harry Silk Reservoir, and Robert accompanied, as the oldest son, accompanied his father on all of these journeys, including coming home in junior high one afternoon to find Golda Meir sitting at the kitchen table, at the family kitchen table. And the quote that she gave him was this. I want to make sure that I say this correctly. So if you, let me see here. Let me find the quote real quick. I apologize. Okay. Robert, if you want something, ask a man, but if you want something done, ask a woman. nearly 70 years later, Robert still fondly remembers that quote. I want to welcome a dear friend of mine, David Wormser, to the program. He is also a national treasure and a national security expert, and someone that I'm very pleased that we have regularly here on the program. David, welcome. Good to have you.
It's wonderful being with you, Pastor.
Well, I tell you, it was just such a treat to have Robert with me, and had the pleasure of getting to meet him in Palm Springs. He's the chairman of Palm Springs, the Jewish National Fund out there, and then also the. They have a very large group that meets out there, and so anyway, just what a pleasure to get to have that time.
It's he must have been fascinating. Must have lived a fascinating life.
Really was, and then there's actually a certificate. I wish this was clearer. But there's actually on his website, there's a certificate to him. This certifies, let's see. Well, it's from Hadassah.
Right.
And it's a certification letter addressed with Robert's name on it. His mom was a significant member of Hadassah. So anyway,
wow.
Yeah. Well, it just, you know, it connects so much, the historical understanding of our, you know, relationship between the United States of America and Israel, and America, you know, played a significant role, of course, in this birthing of Israel in 1948. But the relationship between the United States of America and Israel really dates all the way back to Abraham, because as a Christian, we understand that the covenant that Abraham had with God is the covenant that we have through Jesus Christ, who we believe is our Lord and Savior and the Messiah.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, it goes back to Abraham. But in modern times, specifically the United States, there were Zionist initiatives and Zionist ideas that informed many of our presidents going all the way back to the beginning. You know, people don't quite know that Abraham Lincoln even suggested raising an army of American Jews. There weren't that many American Jews at that time, but he suggested raising an army of American Jews to invade and take back Palestine, the province of Palestine, which is southern Syria at the time, for the Jewish people, and to establish a Jewish state there. So there's been a constant undertone in American policy, because it's natural because ancient Israel is our common source.
Mm-hmm.
And it matters. Mm-hmm. It matters to us as a culture, as a civilization, what goes on there, because that is part of our heritage too.
I couldn't agree more. And we you know, the attempts to try to sever the relationship between Jesus and the Jewish roots, to try to understand his life and what he did outside of you know, first century Judaism, you just miss so much. There's just so much that's missed in not understanding that.
And the Old Testament is common to both of us, and it's the same thing. It's the same. I think there's two chapters that reverse the order, which is really a minor difference. I mean, the reversal of order. But otherwise, they're exactly the same.
Yeah.
The story, the foundations of faith are anchored to the exact same prime document. So, you know, in our civilization, I mean, I don't want to bore everybody with a long historical thing, but Rome was going down because ultimately, as a pagan society, by 300-400, it was so rotted that its population was declining, its industry was stopping. It was wheezing into death, which allowed all those barbarians to invade. But when it became Christian around 300-400 A.D., it turned around, and people don't realize late antiquity Rome was a huge population explosion, a technological explosion, an industrial explosion, an agricultural explosion. Everywhere across the board, the Roman Empire started rocketing back up to relevance and back to power and back to health. And it, you know, whether Constantine converted the Roman Empire to Christianity out of cynical politics because he realized that was the future, or out of genuine faith, you know, and one would hope it's faith, but nevertheless, it is what it is. He converted the empire to Christianity, and the empire changed fundamentally for the better as a result. The Renaissance essentially began in that period, even though technically it went into sort of a deep freeze for 300 years as there was this tremendous Muslim threat on every border of Christendom, in retreat, by the way, in the heart of Christendom, which at the time was Syria and Lebanon and and Turkey and Egypt and Palestine, Israel, those fell to the Muslims. So at the end of the day, that damaged the Roman Empire and put in freeze the beginning of the Renaissance. But the Renaissance began, really all the pieces of it were in place after the Christianity became the state religion of Rome.
Yeah, it's really something. There's a book that I would encourage folks to read. It's called The Challenge of Jesus, Rediscovering Who Jesus Was and Is by N.T. Wright. And he really goes deeply into the Jewish understanding. He breaks down the exile. He talks about how Yahweh came to restore Israel's fortunes. He talks about the difference between the fastings of the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees versus the fastings that Jesus called his disciples to, and really expresses why those fastings were a lead-in to celebratory feasts, because he was the fulfillment of the promises of God that Israel would now flourish again, that Israel would no longer be in exile, and that the attitudes and the pathway and even the linking up of the nation of Israel with Rome was going to lead to its destruction, which it did in AD 70. And how Jesus was saying, no, that's not the path. That's not the way to go. That's not the heart of God. And so it's very powerful. But what we have to understand that, you know, God's heart for Israel and God's heart for the Jewish people and that his heart for Israel and the Jewish people hasn't changed. We have been, I believe, as believers, as Christians, we're grafted in. We're not a replacement. We're a grafting in. And that's a huge difference.
Well, we're in one boat. There's no doubt about it. We're in one boat at this point. And you see it as religious Jews and religious Christians are coming together.
Yes.
And they see the same threats.
Yes.
They see the same challenges. They see the same agonies when they look at their kids. That just they're confronting the challenge and the threat of modern society the way it's been organized around hyper secularism and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
both in America and in Israel, I might add, because
and geopolitically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember going. Years ago, I took our eldest children. My wife and I were, you know, homeschooled a lot, and we were homeschooling, and we took our kids to down to a place where the monarch butterflies migrated, and stayed down there for, you know, part of that to show the kids that and what have you, and the hostel, so to speak, that we stayed in. One of the couples that was there. Was a young Jewish couple from Israel, and they had come from Israel to come and experience this, and so I was like, I was just so excited, right? I'm talking to him, and this is many years ago, David, and so I said, well, golly, you know, how what is that like there, and this and that, and he said, I'm sorry to tell you, but he said, we're a secular society. Most of us don't,
yeah.
You know, most of us don't go to temple. Most of us don't really practice that. We're Jewish by nationality, but not by religious practice. And it just, wow, was so stunning to me.
Yeah, and it's the big divide in Israeli society. Yeah.
Quick break, David. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. If you follow my program, you know I'm a miracle survivor of a catastrophic car accident where I saved my daughter's life, spent 6 weeks on life support, died 4 times, and broke bones in my head, neck, back, ribs, arms, pelvis, and both legs. That was in 2017. In 2004, I was given 3 to 6 months to live as my pituitary gland and adrenal gland shut down. In both instances, God and his natural cures saved and preserved my life. Recently, I was introduced to a product that has taken my healing to a whole nother level. If you want to know more, go to cgrwellness.com and sign up for an account. It's free to sign up. That's cgrwellness.com and sign up for your free account. And when you get done, email me at pg@pastorgregyoung.com. That's pg@pastorgregyoung.com, and I'll tell you how to get well. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My guest is Dr. David Wormser, Center for Security Policy. Let's shift gears for a minute and talk a little bit about what is what's going on here in 2022 between Iran and Russia. And you were mentioning this in the break, and I wanted to make sure that I heard you correctly. I've been following this as well. Obviously, I think we all have. We look at the Russian-Ukrainian situation, and I think everybody is concerned about it. There have been experts that have talked about that, you know, Putin has no intention of pulling the trigger, so to speak, on this, and yet now, you know, he's trying to get international favor by claiming that the Ukrainians are the ones that have breached their territory and so on. But on the other hand, as you were sharing with me in the break, we've got a Biden administration that is asking Russia to negotiate with Iran. And we've talked about this before, David. We've got Russia, China, and Iran would have to be considered, that if we were talking about evil axes, you know, looking back through history, this is today's evil axis.
Yeah, look, I mean, a couple weeks ago, there were joint military exercises between Iran, China, and Russia.
Hello.
They're allies.
Yeah.
They're allies. Exactly. And yet in Vienna, which is where the negotiations with the Iranians are taking place, we've turned to the Russians, but the Iranians, as if they're the ones in the driver's seat, mm-hmm. the Iranians are saying, we're not going to talk to the Americans. The hell with the Americans. They're evil. They're the great Satan. So we're so desperate for a deal, we turn to the Russians. And we basically said, guys, they won't talk to us. Will you be our go-between? Sort of like a high school, you know, going to the brother of a girl that you want to date. Can you be the go-between? You know, it's like we're begging Russia to be an intermediary between us and their ally, Iran. So on one side, we're accusing Russia of these horrible things, talking almost World War III level escalation with Russia, major land war in Europe, the first since 45, et cetera, et cetera. And then literally a couple hundred miles to the south in Vienna, we turn to the Russians and say, help us extract this. Help us deliver your ally. So the Russians are laughing at us. What's happened is the deal, there's no deal. It's a surrender. It's such an abject surrender that over the last few weeks, three State Department professionals, And, you know, State Department is not a bastion of hardline thinking. It's not where the people with the strongest spines reside. They resigned. They resigned because they couldn't be part of this deal, which is really a surrender. Three State Department officials. So what's left is this Biden administration official, who's really the Obama guy who was point man on Iran back then, too. Robert Malley, and he's essentially giving away the store to the Iranians, desperate for a deal. He knows it won't go through Congress because Congress has already picked up on this. And 200 congressmen have already written that they will oppose this deal and that they will take legislative action to ensure that its pieces will not be implemented. So what does Biden do and Malley, our negotiator, do? They say, oh, it's not a new deal, even though everything is new terms and it's much weaker than the old deal. They're saying it's not a new deal, so we don't need to bring it for congressional approval because it's the same deal, just re-implemented. So it's on top of it all, they're selling us a used car here that doesn't have an engine, and they're calling it a Ferrari. You know, this is really one of the most stunning examples of diplomatic fraud, compounding diplomatic malpractice that I've ever seen.
Well, it reminds me of Chamberlain and Halifax going around behind Churchill's back and trying to negotiate a deal with Mussolini, who was, you know, basically Hitler's lackey, right? In World War II, when Hitler has basically said, I'm gonna level Great Britain. That's my plan. There is no negotiation. The plan is to level Great Britain. It seems to me like this is a very that this has a lot of eerie similarities when you have a Biden administration that is sitting there going to turn over the reins of negotiation with somebody like Iran to Putin and communist Russia.
Yeah, exactly. And paying them. I mean, we're about to lift the designation of the IRGC, the Revolutionary Guard, as a terrorist organization. They killed thousands of Americans in Iraq, in Europe, in Lebanon, Marine barracks, etc. The Revolutionary Guard is a homicidal organization killing Americans. And we're going to remove their designation as a terrorist organization for this, which opens them up to being able to have free access to the international financial system. Their assets are unfrozen. They get money. They can transfer money to their operatives.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Well, folks, this is why 202-224-3121 is the phone number to the Capitol switchboard. 202-224-3121. Many of those representatives that represent you, by the way, are home for the President's Day weekend. You should call their local office. Go try to find where they're stumping, because a lot of them are around stumping in your district. Go to one of those events and say, hey, what are you doing about defending our national sovereignty? What are you doing about protecting us? Why are you not stepping up and stopping the President from his engagement with Russia and Iran?
Please tell me, apparently one of the whistleblowers is brave enough to come forward and give a name, or I would not have allowed you to come.
Yes, Senator. So we've got three whistleblowers who have given me permission at this point to share their name. Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long, DOMPH, Dr. Samuel Sigloff, and Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Peter Chambers, DO and flight surgeon. All three have given me this data. I have declarations from all three. This data is under penalty. This is under penalty of perjury. We intend to submit this to the courts. We have substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average, almost. We saw almost 300% increase in cancer over the five-year average. Cancer is not being talked about except for by Dr. Ryan Cole. Thank you, doctor. We saw, this one's amazing, neurological. So neurological issues which would affect our pilots, over 1,000% increase. 1,000.
Ten times. That's 10 times the rate, and obviously that
83,000 per year. I'm sorry, 82,000 per year to 863,000 in 1 year. Our soldiers are being experimented on, injured, and sometimes possibly killed. Dr. Corey, thank you so much for your stance on the corruption. That's precisely what it is. They know this. And Senator, when these doctors are attacked, not necessarily the people in this room, I'm not giving names, they call me. I'm the one dealing with the medical boards. I'm the one watching the witch hunts. I'm the one fighting them off, and I'm the one telling them where to go. I'm going to keep doing that. Senator, we also have, let me give you this last thing, and then I'll shut up and get out of your way. 9/28/2021, Project Salus weekly report. Project Salus is a Defense Department initiative where they report and they take all this data that doesn't exist, supposedly, and they give it to the CDC. They're watching these vaccines. On that date and around that date, I have numerous instances where Fauci and that entire crew were saying, it's a crisis of the unvaxxed. It's 99% unvaxxed in the hospital. In Project Salus, in the weekly report, the DOD document says specifically, 71% of new cases are in the fully vaxxed and 60% of hospitalizations are in the fully vaxxed. This is corruption at the highest level. We need investigations. The Secretary of Defense needs investigated. The CDC needs to be investigated. And thank you so much, Senator, for having the courage to stand against these special interests. So,
hi, I'm Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, heard on the Truth Broadcasting Network and seen on TECNTV.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, where I discuss today's most important issues through a biblical constitutional lens. TECNTV.com appreciates our partnership with NTD, and we'd love for you to give our great programming a view. That's TECNTV.com, Chosen Generation Radio with Pastor Greg. God bless you and God bless America.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Hey, I really still want to, encourage you coming out of that last segment. Contact your representatives. 202-224-3121 is the Capitol switchboard. 202-224-3121. And, you know, as people of faith, it's so important that we are engaged in this political process. The entire world belongs to our Father God in heaven. And we, as his children, as followers of Christ, have a responsibility to be engaged, to be involved. And we were talking about our relationship with Israel. I've been talking about that several times this morning. And it's important for us to be engaged relative to what's happening. Our nation should not be negotiating or allowing somebody like Russia and Putin and the communists in Russia to negotiate with another mortal enemy of ours, which is Iran and the terrorists and the Islamists there, and somehow determine that there's going to be some kind of a positive plan that's going to come out of that that's going to benefit the United States. Russia, China, and Iran want the United States of America and Israel both destroyed. And let's be real about that. So contact your representatives. Many of them are out stumping today. It's President's Day. This is a day they like to go out and hold political events. Well, show up at their event and demand that they stop the negotiations and allowing Russia to be our representative in negotiating with a nuclear Iran. That's insanity. Call them. Make your voices heard. Well, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to the program. I was very pleased. He was introduced to me by a mutual dear friend, Daphne Barak, and her husband, Erbil Ganasty. And it is my pleasure to welcome to the program Jeff Stone. Jeff, welcome. Good to have you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you. It's great to have you. Well, you fought the good fight in California, and like me, I fled to Texas. You left and went to Nevada, and got to Nevada and discovered that in Nevada they were trying to pull the same stuff they were doing in California, and so you've decided to say no. I'm gonna step in and try to stop this, and you're running for state senate there in the great state of Nevada. Yeah. But talk to us about what you found when you got to Nevada and what you're fighting for.
Well, as you know, Pastor, I'm a native Californian. I kind of served at every level of government purely by accident. I was in the city of Temecula and saw some graffiti going up on a wall and had two young kids and went to my first city council meeting and complained about it. And the mayor did nothing about it. And so my wife said, well, why don't you do something about it? I said, what can I do? She goes, why don't you run against them? So I ran against him as a single issue candidate, and I beat him, and wrote one of the strongest graffiti ordinances in the state of California, which is still prevalent today. And there's no graffiti and no gangs in Temecula. But I fell in love with public service, and then ran for the county board of supervisors and served 3 terms there. Ran for the state senate, was elected to 2 terms, and then I was honored by President Trump to be selected to the United States Department of Labor to represent him in the 10 Western states. So that's how it all kind of started. But I knew that California was irredeemable. And back in 2017, when they passed the gas tax, and I told my wife, you know, we need to move to Nevada. It's a much more business-friendly state, much friendlier tax-wise. And she agreed with me. So we moved all of our real estate holdings to Nevada and bought a beautiful home here. And then I started kind of paying attention to the politics here and started seeing some of the crazy legislation that originated from California coming here. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I feel like it's back in 1992 when you told me to run for city council to stop the graffiti, except now I'm stepping up the plate and I want to stop this liberal socialistic bent that wants to take over the state of Nevada, which is basically, you know, 1/12, 1/13 the size of the population of the state of California. And so I decided to throw my hat in the ring, and I'm running for the Nevada State Senate, the 20th district, and I'm very proud to do so.
Now, Nevada has some rather unique characteristics, one of which, as I understand it, is that a lot of the land in Nevada is actually held by the federal government. Am I correct in that thought process?
That's very correct. Probably about 80% of the state is held by the Bureau of Land Management, and every year they kind of let go of some land as we see incredible growth happening here. You got to remember that Nevada's population is only about 3.2 million people altogether. So most of your population centers are either in the rural areas, or they're in Reno in northern Nevada, or Clark County in southern Nevada. But no, you're right. Most of it is federally owned.
And so, of course, that kind of makes Nevada a unique situation and a rather unique opportunity. It's kind of like the old expansion of the West, if you will, as the Bureau of Land Management starts to release chunks of land there. Of course, because the federal government, by our Constitution, is not supposed to be holding all that land.
Exactly. So, you know, I guess you could say the citizens of Nevada are kind of at the mercy of the federal government for any future growth. But, you know, Nevada, I would say Nevada, Texas, Tennessee, and Florida are the states where most people are migrating to, primarily because they're a non-state income tax state, and more importantly, they're business friendly. Nevada was attractive to me because they have a part-time legislature, as opposed to California that has a full-time legislature. So they only meet 16 weeks every other year on odd years, and they usually address a two-year budget. But of course, you see the crazy bills, many of which you see in California. But what I like about Nevada is it's a purple state. I really believe that with the Republican wave that's been predicted, I think that Nevada is going to turn into a red state in 2022, and I want to be a part of that. because I want to lead this state into the future. I think it's going to be an economic powerhouse when you get all the high-tech companies, you know, Alphabet, Yahoo, all these Amazon, they're all these big companies are relocating a lot of their business here. Why? Because you can actually find a house that you can buy and live the American dream here, where in California you can't live the American dream anymore because prices are too expensive.
It's really interesting, the amount of growth that's taking place in places like Nevada, Tennessee, Florida, and Texas. And of course, you know, Texas is the same way. We have a part-time legislature. We don't have a full-time legislature. They meet every other year, and they meet for about the same 16 weeks. So it's a very, very similar governance that's taking place between the two states.
Exactly. And you know what I like about it is that, you know, like as opposed to California, where you have people making regulations and taxes 9 months full time out of the year, they only get half a bite out of the apple in Nevada, Texas, and Florida and Tennessee, where they only meet, you know, every other year and they have a specified small window of opportunity to get something crazy done, you know, other than to do their basic responsibilities of passing a budget and returning to a citizens legislature, which I think our forefathers really thought this country needed. We need people that had to live and work by the rules that they created in this country and in our states, and Nevada certainly is one of them.
Well, and that, you know, really kind of is a good bridge as we think about today being President's Day, and you know, our original founders, you know, even those that became president of this country in the very beginning, were exactly what you're talking about. These were people who had, you know, working farms, working land, working businesses, and really, you know, most of the time you would find them, you know, with concerns about their personal and private business and the amount of time and so forth that the governance of the nation was supposed to take was not supposed to be their primary source of income or their primary source of livelihood.
Exactly. And what we've done in many states and certainly in Congress is we've created occupations. So you're, as an example, in California, between your pay, your benefits, and your per diem, you've got legislators making $165,000 a year.
Wow.
And, you know, that gives a lot of power to lobbyists to come in and say, hey, listen, if you don't support this legislation, we're going to go with your opponent in the primary. And you got these people that don't necessarily have the qualifications to be an elected official that are succumbing to political pressure to not do things in the best interest of the people. And frankly, that's why I think we see our country in really bad shape right now, is because they just don't have a backbone, a lot of these elected officials, and we see ourselves, you know, very, very weak in the eyes of not only people like me in this country, but also other countries. I mean, I don't think Putin would be doing what he's doing right now if President Trump was in office. I don't think he'd be doing what he's doing if President Bush was in office. And what this is doing is it's giving a clear signal to the presidents of, like, China, Xi, to go into Taiwan. It's giving Iran mullahs the opportunity for expansionism, and certainly North Korea, to start firing more missiles because there's no deterrent anymore. We used to be the peacekeepers of the world, but we're not anymore.
Well, and I think that's an important conversation for us to have because, you know, Nevada is actually being invaded by China. The Chinese government is buying up a lot of that land as the BLM releases land and makes it available. It seems as though the CCP, much as what is happening in New Mexico, in Arizona, and here in Texas, the CCP is making deals to make those purchases. They may be putting up, you know, private individuals or quote unquote looks like private individuals, but those are just fronts for the CCP to come in and buy up land. Let's talk about that when we come back. Jeff Stone is my guest, StoneForSenate.com. Coming up here on Chosen Generation Radio.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg for Coco Lasses. Coco Lasses, right here, folks. This stuff is absolutely delicious. Dark cocoa and black molasses. And talk about healthy. Wow. Vitamins, minerals, nutrients. This stuff is absolutely dynamite. And it tastes great. Just take a cup of hot water and take some Coco Lasses. Measure it out. And I'm going to get every last drop of it right here, boy. Take my spoon. Scoop that cup right out so I can get every last drop of Coco Lasses. Got my Coco Lasses right here in my cup. Stir it up. You can put a little more, a little less, whatever you prefer. And bottoms up. Hi, I'm Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, heard on the Truth Broadcasting Network and seen on TECNTV.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, where I discuss today's most important issues through a biblical constitutional lens. TECNTV.com appreciates our partnership with NTD, and we'd love for you to give our great programming a view. That's TECNTV.com, Chosen Generation Radio with Pastor Greg. God bless you and God bless America.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And again, I want to welcome all of our audience, those of you watching us live right now on TECNTV.com, those listening to us all across the Truth Broadcasting Network and across Noble Radio Network and our other networks as well. And want to welcome those of you that are going to be listening to us right now in Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome aboard. Good to have you listening to us as well. And we're talking to Jeff Stone, StoneForSenate.com. Jeff is running for the state senate position there, and that's in Las Vegas, right, Jeff?
Yeah, it's mostly in Henderson, and it extends to Boulder City, and then to Mesquite. So you know, okay. The Democrats were in charge of kind of redistricting the area, and they kind of made it look kind of weird. You're supposed to keep communities together, but the goal is to dominate. And so, but this is a heavily Republican district by about 14 points.
Okay. Very good. So there you go, folks. If you're listening in those areas and you're tuned in. We hope that you'll go to stoneforsenate.com and check out what Jeff is bringing to the table and consider offering him your support. We were talking as we went into the break, you know, kind of about making the transition into talking about what's happening in Nevada as far as the you know, the CCP is coming in and buying up property through through shell organizations, working things kind of around the people, if you will, as the BLM releases property. But talk to us a little bit about that, and what can the Nevada legislature do, perhaps, to try to mitigate, you know, China coming in and buying up a bunch of the Nevada land.
Well, that's a great point. You know, this is not just a Nevada problem. This is a national problem. And the reason why we have this problem is because we exported all of our manufacturing to China. I mean, we certainly found that during the pandemic, as we found ourselves with shortages from a lot of electronics, cars, because they needed chips from cars for cars that they weren't making, and other supply chains that people like me never knew we were so dependent on China for. And even some of our national security hardware is made in China. And so we've got to shake off this addiction, if you will. We've got to start manufacturing back in our own country, putting our own people back to work, because not only is it bad for jobs and our economy to export manufacturing jobs that, through a multiplier effect, actually create more jobs in the community, but we also have $1 trillion deficits with China, and they're taking this money and they're buying assets in the United States, and they basically want to quietly take over as much land as they possibly can, and they would like to have basically a weaponless coup in this country in the future by virtue of the fact that they own so much. So this has got to raise the eyebrows of governors and legislatures throughout the United States that there is this buying frenzy going on by the CCP that needs to be recognized, reported on, and abated in some way.
Yeah, we're having a big issue with that down here in Texas as well. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things that Victor Avila, who's running for land commissioner, has talked about, is, you know, is working with the legislature, but as the land commissioner, breaking those kinds of situations up so that the CCP is not buying up a bunch of our land and under the pretense of, you know, using shells to do it. But you're right, and the other thing we've got an issue with, right, is the essential mineral problem, and the fact that, you know, going back to Clinton and so forth, we began to give away our manufacture of essential minerals to the point now that China is the one that controls the majority of that.
Well, and again, and that goes back to the radical environmentalism that exists in the United States today. I mean, just look at California. Not only do we have the National Environmental Protection Act, but we got the California Environmental Quality Act, where they don't want us mining for minerals. They don't want us mining for coal. Everything's got to be left clean and pristine for every Tweety Bird that exists out there. And as a result, we've exported all of these needs to other countries, and a lot of these countries that hold a lot of these minerals, I think 90, you know, China has like 90% of the minerals that we need for computers and cell phones and maybe even for some weaponry. And that's a very dangerous position to be in, to be dependent on your enemy for items in which you want to have national security for, you know. So these are all very dangerous trends that our leftist politicians have led us down this path, and I'm hoping that in 2022 that people wake up to the fact that, you know, we have a country to save. We really do, and it's really under assault in many, many different facets, and if we don't all come together and follow the Constitution and elect good, you know, God-fearing people, we have a very big challenge ahead of us in this country if we're going to retain our democracy and our freedoms.
Well, and one of the areas where China has this major monopoly, and this was something that was coming up as we were dealing with this, the pandemic that China actually released upon us. I believe it was a biological weapons attack. That was the fact that China also controlled the majority of the pharmaceuticals, and as a pharmacist, as someone who has been in that field, you and I were talking a little bit about that, but you know, that's something that you understand, and even as a candidate, you know, you can address those kinds of issues in a way that very few can.
No, it's very true, and a lot of pharmaceutical companies have exported a lot of their manufacturing to China. And the problem with China is they not only manufacture the drugs for these drug companies, but they don't respect anybody's patents. They start manufacturing these drugs for themselves and for their 1+ billion people, and so these drug companies are losing a fortune because there is no patent protection there. They steal everything, and you know, when we need these natural resources for drugs to help our country, China controls the spigot. And, you know, we got to bring that manufacturing back to the United States. We used to have it in Puerto Rico, which was like the capital of manufacturing, which is about as close to a state as you could possibly get. We could have a whole conversation on that. Mm-hmm. But they've taken, listen, the left always complains about, oh, we need higher minimum wage and we got to get people to get out of poverty. You know, but it's a different standard when they take all this manufacturing and put it in China, and they have people working for 14 cents a day or 20 cents a day, and there's no such thing as workman's comp. There's no such thing as health insurance.
Right.
These people are basically
slave labor.
How do you compete against that?
Well, and sadly, I mean, the bottom line is that we could have competition with it, and President Trump had us moving in that direction based on, you know, the tariffs and based on things that he was putting in place and bringing manufacturing back into the United States and rebirthing an economy here that was roaring. But then we had, you know, the biological warfare happen and the Chinese and I mean, there's no other way. And now the truth is coming out, and we know, NIH was involved in that. Fauci was involved in that. I mean, there's a laundry list of those that were, supposed to be on our side that were engaged in activity. And we just have to hope that, Durham's investigation into the Russiagate begins to also bring in a lot of these other situations that are happening. Of course, we've got some good attorney generals, I think, that are running around the country that I think can make some headway as it relates to that as well, state attorney generals. Jeff Stone has been my guest, StoneForSenate.com. Be sure and check out the website, StoneForSenate.com. And if you're in the Nevada area, we encourage you to support what he's doing. If you're outside of the area as well, you can still make contributions to assist his campaign. And Jeff will be most appreciative of that. We're out of time. We'll be back with you tomorrow on the program here. We got a lot more coming at you tomorrow. Great week of programming coming up. Be sure and check out the calendar at ChildrenGenerationRadio.com, and you can get our email there as well.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.